Morning, everybody. All right, it's good to see you. Feels like there's some good energy in the room. Let's keep that going. Can you do it? All right, cool. I'm just going to welcome all of those tuning in online. Really, really good to host and to have you guys. Thank you for being connected even from a distance. If you don't know me, my name is Josh. I have the privilege to serve as the lead pastor here at Church on the Rock. We are going to get right to it. Y'all ready? If you're ready, say, I'm ready. All right, that's what I'm talking about. You guys are ready this morning. We're going to get into the final installment of a message series that we've been calling Recycle. And what we've been doing is we've been using this bike as an illustration. And the illustration of the bike is that things keep going around, right? Like the tires and the spokes and the gears and the pedals, they keep coming back around in cycles. It's what makes the engineering of this thing work. Isn't that right, everybody? Like if the top of the tire didn't wind up coming back to the top of the tire, all the engineering has failed in this thing. And so in this series, we've been talking about things that need to recycle in our lives. There are certain things that need to keep coming back around. And so we've talked about rhythms, cycles. And so we've talked about resting, for example. How many of you guys need to rest every so often? How many of you guys sleep every day? Come on, show of hands. If you sleep every day, do you do it good? Good, that's good. Every once in a while you take an additional nap. How many Sunday afternoon nappers may be in the room? That's your thing. Yeah, okay, good. Good for you. We need rest. And we need good rest in a cycle. Isn't that right, everybody? And then we talked about things like renewal. We talked about, man, how our minds need to be renewed by Christ Jesus and how we need to continually, I said it this way last week, don't be influenced, be informed. Don't let the world and society and just life influence you. Be informed. Make your own decisions and let God's holy word drive those decisions. Isn't that right, everybody? And we've talked about that. We've talked about all kinds of things. Today, we're going to get right back into it. I'll go to our newest prop here in just a moment. But I want to start where we've started every single week of this series. I want to start with the scripture, 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. It's a prayer, and it's saying this, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and that you would be in health even as your soul prospers." That's really what we've been talking about, the difference between the outer you and the inner you. How many of you guys know if you gain a little weight, you get a little gray hair, skin starts to sag just a little bit, you don't have a good Florida suntan anymore, you got a farmer's tan now, you know what I'm talking about? Things start changing. How many of you guys would testify things change over time? Come on, it's okay. It just happens. But on the inside is still you. Isn't that right? Like, no matter what takes place on the outside, it's still you on the inside. And what the author here is saying is, like, I want you to be healthy and prosperous and successful on the outside and on the inside. And the problem that we're discovering in this series is that too often times we're killing it on the outside. Like, we're doing it, man. We're doing what society says we should do. I mean, we've got the house and we've got the boat and we've got the titles and we've got the stuff and we've got the vacations. But on the inside, man, it is costing us everything to have it. And so we've been digging into this reality of making sure that the soul prospers. The inner you is also healthy. Now, let's get to it, because I want to actually go to the verse that we've ended every message in this series with. It's Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. It's going to be on the screen. Let's look at it. The Bible says, "Come to me," and this is Jesus speaking, and he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Which sounds really, really nice, doesn't it? But can I be really honest with you? Is that okay? Is it okay if I'm like super transparent? You can talk back some. Just anybody that's got a voice, you can use that. Is it okay if I'm transparent this morning? I sometimes struggle with not being productive. In fact, it drives me crazy to not be productive. I measure the value of every single one of my days based on what I achieved that day. Anybody else in the room kind of like me? You ever been called an overachiever? You ever had people say, you should slow down? You ever had somebody say, you might care too much? You might work too hard? Yeah, and so if you're like me, I think that you would readily admit that to talk about resting and renewing and chilling can be hard to do. Am I right? It can just be a little bit hard to do because you're like, look, I got stuff to do. Like, I hear you on Sunday, but Monday's coming back around, and there are expectations on my life, not only from others, but also from me. I'm trying to get some things done. But I want to take you to the very next verses, and I intentionally have not included them into this series until now. Today is the culmination of the whole thing. And here's what I want you to see. The very next verse, verse 29. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Watch what Jesus says, though. Take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you. A yoke is designed, come on, some of you are going to love this, for working. That's what it's for. A yoke is for productivity. Now, for some of you that don't know, this is not what's in the center of your egg. That's spelled different, a whole different thing. This is actually a wooden farm, like a piece of farming equipment, where they would take one cattle and attach it to another cattle. So one ox, we'll say, would attach to another ox. And together, these two could do more than just the one. They would yoke them together to pull the load, to carry the weight, to do the work that needs to be done. And so Jesus is saying, hey, come to me if you got all this stress and you're burdened and you're exhausted and you're tired. And what I want you to do, though, is actually want you to do work for me, which brings me back to life just a little bit. Like, okay, all right, this sounds good because I like to produce. I like to get stuff done. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find, I want everybody to say, rest for your souls, like that inner you, the real you, regardless of what happens around you or to you. Like, I'm going to give you rest for your souls because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I want you to notice that Jesus invites us to take a yoke upon us. He actually invites, like, hey, you can go be productive. You can go knock it down. You can get it done. You can be high achieving. But it's not that God wants us to be less productive when he talks about, come to me and I'll give you rest. Come to me and I'm going to make your soul healthy. Listen, it's not that he wants us to be less productive. It's that he wants us to be healthy. And there is a difference. I believe that God has called his church and his people, like, do stuff. Get busy. Jesus has a great commission that he gave to the church. And he said, I want you to just go. I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to everybody, everywhere. How many of you guys know there's a lot of work to do? That's a lot. Hey, I want you to make disciples of every nation. That's a lot of work to be done. But I want you to recognize that Jesus somehow puts these two things together, that I'm going to give you rest for your souls and make you be productive in a way that your soul is actually healthy. And there has been, and I hope you have heard it week after week after week in this series, there has been at least an intention to have an overtone kind of a message in this series, and it is this. I want you to hear it. It's going on the screen. That a healthy soul comes from being in the presence of God. That's where it comes from. So I could stand up here week after week and I could give you self-help tips. I could motivate you. I could talk to you about rhythm, cycles. I could give you strategic things to do. I could give you practical application. I'm all about that stuff. I'm all about that stuff. Like if you can't use on Monday what I talked about on Sunday, in my opinion, I wasted your time. Like, what were you even here for, right? So I like practicality. How do I use this in my real life? I don't need this in some fluffy, churchy atmosphere. I need this when I'm at work. I need this when I'm at home. I need this when I'm in traffic. I need this when I'm in conflict with somebody that I don't really see eye to eye with. Like, I need this there. And that's what I'm trying to do. And here's what I want to overtly proclaim today is that if I'm actually going to have a healthy soul, it's going to come from being in the presence of the living God. This is why Jesus said, come to me. Don't come to YouTube for another 3-minute motivational video. Those are awesome. I watch them too. Come on, I'm with you and all that stuff. Don't go to church and just hear the pastor, come on, you can do it, I believe it. Like go into the presence of the Almighty God. Be renewed by the truth of His Word and let it transform how you think so that you can live in this world that everybody's seeing, but you see it differently. You live differently. You're acting a little bit differently. I want you to be resting in a rhythm. Some of us in this society have like written off the idea of resting ever. But in days of old, there was this thing called Sabbath, like a focused day of the week where all things stopped, all work and all toil, all that. It just stopped. And the whole day was focused on resting and being in God's presence. And some of us are like, yeah, but that was way back then. But the author of Hebrews says there yet still remains a Sabbath rest for God's people. Like he's still trying to get us to have these rhythms. And so while your competitor might be knocking it down 7 days a week, God's saying, hey, if you'll trust me, I'm going to ask you to get it done in six. And if you'll trust me, I'll empower you to do it in six. But some of us trust ourselves more than we trust God. I'm preaching now. Yeah, man. All right, let's go to Jeremiah 31:25, because I am going to be practical today. I'm going to be as practical as I can possibly be today. But I want you to see this verse, Jeremiah 31:25. Watch what the Bible says. For I will satisfy the weary soul, and every languishing soul I will replenish. Let me give you the definition of the word languishing. Ready for it? It says, failing to make progress or be successful. And what does the Bible say that God does for that? He replenishes the soul. That's what I want to talk about today, replenishment. Replenishment. We talked about all these other things that we're going to have in a cycle. Today, I want to talk about replenishing. I've got a little bit of a, some of you might call it a science project. It's just a prop. I've been enjoying using the props. Anybody else enjoying the props that we've been using in this series? It's just something I've been trying to do. Years ago, I used to be referred to as the king of prop, and I was trying to bring it back just a little bit. And so I'm going to just show you something you've probably seen, not all that hard to understand. But you have this reservoir, this cup, and if you notice, as I keep pouring in, something else kind of is taking place. Some of you can hear it sounds like a fountain in your yard because there's a little fish in it. You notice what's happening to the cup? It's just getting emptier and emptier and emptier. And the reason that it's getting emptier and emptier and emptier is because there's holes in it. So in order for me to stay full, it's important that I stay replenished. I've got to keep pouring back in to my reservoir because it keeps running out. That's a pretty frantic pace. So in order for me to keep it going and for me to be full on the inside, I'm going to have to replenish from somewhere. And here's where I think everybody, so many people miss it. Because I think that there are a bunch of us in this room, watching online, listening to podcasts, however you get this content, that you're going hard and you're pouring it out, and there are things in life that are draining you. Your problem is you don't know how to fill back up. It's not that you don't maybe know some Bible verses. It's not that you haven't tried to find things to do. It's not that you're not going on vacation. It's not that you're not trying to catch a break every once in a while and get you a Sunday afternoon nap. The problem is you don't know what fills you. You don't know how to replenish. And God wants us to prosper even as our souls prosper. What's on the inside must stay full, because the fact of the matter is, everybody, that when my cup runs out, I have nothing left to give. I don't have anything left to give. And God can call me to pour out and say, well, God, Josh, I've called you. And okay, God, I'll pour for you. I'll pour it out for you. But eventually, I'm going to pour and pour and pour, and then I'll have nothing left to give. But Monday's coming, and all the demands are still there, and that meeting's coming, and I still got to be prepared, and my kids still need my guidance in their life, and I got to be there for them, and my wife still needs my attention and for me to pour all my love into only her. My church is looking to me to be their leader, but if I don't know how to replenish, I will have nothing to give. And I think there are so many people, they don't know how to do that. So can we talk about that today? Is it okay if we talk about it? Just two simple questions that I'm going to, let me start here. Let me start in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Watch what the Bible says. What do workers gain from their toil? I've seen the burden God has laid on the human race. That's an interesting sentence, isn't it? He has made everything beautiful in its time, and he has also set eternity in the human heart, so no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better than for people to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is a gift from God. I like this, man. I like this. And it's interesting because it's got a lot of complexity in there. And there's complexity like, man, I've seen the burden that God laid on the human race. And if you missed part one of this series, you'll discover what that is. There's actually this burden. There's the societal pressure that you feel today to achieve and to do and to conquer has always been here. Always. It's always been a reality. It's not a new phenomenon, and it isn't technology, and it's not because of the internet. It's because it's what the curse that is on the ground we live in produces for us. We feel the need on the inside to earn and to do and to produce. And quite frankly, and this isn't the point of my message, and I don't necessarily have all the time for it, but quite frankly, this is some of our problem with our relationships with Christ, is we're trying to earn before God something he gave to us at no cost. Some of us are trying, can I dig a second? Some of us are trying to prove to God that we're worthy of his love, and he's like, you can't be worthy of my love. I didn't give it to you because you're worthy. I gave it to you because I'm gracious. I gave it to you because I am love. I gave it to you because I love you so much, and I provided a way for us to have relationship together, and I don't need you to prove to me that you're good enough. I made you good enough, and then I'm going to transform your life in time if you'll just get near me and walk with me. That's good preaching right there. But some of our problems are that, like, we want to please the Lord, and we want to walk with him, and we want to be productive in our lives, and we want to be productive in ministry, and we want to be productive in our faith. We just don't know how to fill back up. Two questions I'm going to ask you today. Number one question is this: what drains you? You've got to know the answer to this question. What drains you? The second question that I'm going to ask you today is, what fills you? What drains you and what fills you? Let's go back to our little illustration here. Because if you were to ask me very plainly, Josh, what drains this cup? I would say, I'm pretty sure it's the four holes that we drilled around the bottom of it. That's probably what's draining the cup. But if I was to ask you in your life, like, well, what drains you? Here's the interesting thing about it. I think we might know, but we might not fully know. Can we dig into this just for a moment? Because the truth of the matter is, one of these holes in your reservoir might be the overbearing, frustrating boss that you wish would get promoted or move to another branch, right? That might be a drain on you, and it might be a legitimate drain on you. And it might be the hours. This other one, just maybe it's the hours that you have to put in. And it's like, man, it's just hard on me. I'm not really a morning person, but we start at 7 a.m. or whatever it is. And like, I got to get there. And that's a little bit taxing. And that's one of the holes. But then over here in this other hole, here's the interesting thing, everybody, that it could be something that's really good for you, like being a good parent. Or like loving your wife and pursuing her like you did when you were dating her. Oh, I'm in your business now. Like making sure that your husband has the proper affirmation that he needs from you. It's like putting the work in. And here's the thing. It's valuable and necessary. But the truth is, it drains you a little bit. And here's the thing about it. That some of us, when if we were to be asked, like, well, what's draining you? We would point to all the things that we feel like we really can't help. And we wouldn't point to the things that we have to do that we actually can help. Because here's the thing. Some of the best things in our lives are drains on us. Listen, I love being a pastor. I'm called to this. I feel like I'm gifted for this. I've tried every job on planet Earth, I feel like, and this is the only one where I feel fulfilled on the inside. I actually feel like I make a difference in the kingdom of God. I love doing this, but can I be honest with you? Sometimes it just takes it out. And how can that be? Well, it can be because I'm a limited resource, and I only have so much I can give. And as much as I love doing what God's called me to do, it's a hole in the reservoir because I have to pour out of that. And some of us in our lives, you might love your job or your career. You might know that, like, I'm just in a season of my working life where I've got to kind of earn my next step. And one day, this will be worth it. When I get that degree, when I get that certificate, when I get that promotion, like, we know. But the reality is it's a drain on our lives, and we should identify it as such, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, because you might not be able to help your coworker, and you might be thinking, dear God, why do they keep her around? She drives me nuts. I wish that they would just fire her. If they would fire her and hire the other lady, we would be so much better off, or whatever. And I get it. There are certain things you can't help, right? You can't help them. And they drain you. It's a tax on you. I can't help that the Dolphins never win, ever. And it drains me, church. I don't know why I went there. We don't have time for this, Hersey. But then there are things like being a parent. I embrace this job. Like it. Sometimes it just takes it out of me. Being a good pastor, being a good husband. Sometimes there are times where I have to kind of find out that, like, oh man, I'm not doing well enough in these arenas, and I got to do it. And so the simple question is, this is homework. I don't even think you'll be able to answer this today. In fact, I think it's going to take you a great deal of time to fully understand what is draining me. What is taking it out of me? And what is it? Because here's the thing. Some of those holes will always be there. They're always going to be there. I have a 20-year-old daughter who's been married over a year. My son just turned 18 and graduated high school, and our youngest is 13 years old. And so we're on the back end of this parenting thing, right? Like, the empty nest is coming. And I'm a little excited. I won't even lie and act like I'm not. I am in a lot of ways. But here's the thing. How many of you guys know, and especially the parents that are ahead of me in their seasons of life, will recognize that 18 is not the end of parenthood? You're always going to be mom and dad. You're always going to have the responsibility and the desire to pour into your kid's life. That hole, I can't take it away. I can't. And the fact of the matter is, I don't want to. I like that hole. But I got to recognize being a good dad takes a lot of energy, takes a lot of effort. You recognize I'm just using some analogies. You might have different application for your life. But I recognize that there are certain holes that, man, not only do I have to recognize that they're there, I actually have to just know that they're staying there. And so because they're always going to be a drain, I've got to make sure that I'm always doing some replenishing. And it has to happen in a rhythm. On the other hand, there might be some other holes that I can eliminate. Maybe there are some things that I'm participating in or that I'm doing that are taking away from me, and quite frankly, I don't need them. Maybe they need to be modified or eliminated or adjusted in some way in my life. And this is what you're gonna do. This is your homework. You're gonna identify what drains me. And I would encourage you to get a pen and a piece of paper and start writing some things down. And then I would encourage you to take that list and start to separate it just a little bit. What's there that's always going to be there? And what's there that shouldn't be there? And what's there that should modify or change? I have to know what drains me. But on the other hand, it's also imperative that I know what replenishes me and what fills me back up. Because here's the irony. Can I just stay on the kid thing? Is that okay? Here's the irony. That one hole that's a drain in my life at times because parenting, come on, say amen, if you're a parent, parenting is tough business. It's hard, man, it's hard. But the truth of the matter is, parenting is also here for me, in fact. It's actually quite replenishing. I'm going on a family vacation really soon, and I'm pumped about it. You know what I'm saying? So even though it might drain me sometimes, it also fills me. It also fills me back up. And so as important as it is for me to know what drains my life, it's equally as important for me to know what fills my life. And in fact, I need to discover what are those things that replenish my soul. Now again, with the overtone that true fulfillment and replenishment comes from the presence of God, there are still practical things that can be done in our lives that fill us back up. And some of you know what those things are, and some of you need to do a study on yourself to determine what some of those things are. Can I just give you some examples from my own life? So let me digress just a moment. That last summer, some of you were a part of the church when we did this, and some of you were not. But last summer, my wife and I went on a 6-week sabbatical. So I didn't preach, I didn't write messages, I didn't serve people. For 6 weeks, I completely unplugged from the active work of ministry. And ironically, I feel like it has served me better this year than it did last year. Interesting. Because it's what I learned in that time. I was intentional and I read certain books and I started to do some self-study and I started to kind of determine some things about me and I became a bit more of a student of myself. And if you're not a student of you, you should be. Like, that's a totally side point, but you really should be a student of you. What brings the best out of you and what brings the worst? And what lights your fire and what extinguishes it? And what motivates you and what doesn't? And what's driving points? And you just need to study you. But it was from there that I started to become more of a student. I began to get a little bit more intentional. And I started to ask the question, Josh, what does replenish you? What are the things that fill you up? And then I went a step further and I said, okay, if those are the fillers, then what are their frequency? Let me give you some examples. For me, I'm going to give you just a couple. For me, the Word of God is a major filler. Can I just say this, that if you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God is a major filler. That's universal. It's not just because I'm a preacher. That's because I'm a Christian. And so I've recognized that I need God's Word in my life, and here's its frequency: daily. It's every day. Now, I'm not going to oversell myself and act like that I have perfect attendance in God's Word, because there have been days that I've missed. There have been times that I've missed it. But when I do, I recognize the depletion. So for me, because I recognize that this is a replenisher and I know its frequency, then I am intentional to have God's Word inside of me daily. Daily. Next, I put on here dates. Dates. I'm happily married to the greatest girl in the whole world for me. And I don't know where you are, but I love you so much. One day God will deliver me from crybaby-ness. In Jesus' name. Dates. I put that on here. And here's what we've discovered. Those are best had weekly. That's a replenisher, and that's the rhythm. That's the cycle. Hey, this needs to happen every week. And that doesn't mean we have to spend money every week. We just have to invest time every week. That's what that is. And so we're intentional. We don't care if it offends you. Doesn't matter to us. We don't care if our kids don't like it. Doesn't matter. Why? Because we recognize that that's the cycle in our lives, and that in time has to be rhythmically invested. It cycles every single week for us. That's a replenisher, and that's its cycle. There are, I'm weird, and some of you are weird like me. I like to organize things. I am the person that wants to empty the closet and then put it all back together better. That's just how I am. My garage is a non-stop, constant organizational problem because I share it with many other people. And so here's what I've discovered, that every once in a while, I need a good organizational project. I need to make something better. I need to make it more organized and simpler and better. Okay, I used to have these two little toolboxes, and then now I got a bigger toolbox. And so a couple of weeks ago, I just took all the tools out of these two little toolboxes, and it was the best night in the garage. And I organize, and they are perfect. Everything is perfect in there, right? I don't even know where it all is yet because I haven't learned my new system, but I needed to organize. I needed to organize. And here's what I've discovered, that I need that occasionally. Just every once in a while. I need something like that. Why? Because I've recognized that it just fills me back up. It makes me feel good. Like, yeah, so every once in a while I'm looking for a project to organize. I like being in the woods, and you guys know this about me. I love the outdoors as much as I hate the Florida heat. I love outside. And I like to get just into the woods. And so for me, I try to do that monthly. I'm trying to like be in the woods and do something in the woods every month. That's its cycle for me. I like to deer hunt, come on, and elk hunt in Jesus' name, and kill a big mule deer one day out west. Come on, I got goals, everybody. Bucket list things, man. I'm trying to achieve. I love it. And I'm sorry if you don't, forgive me. This is who I am. You be who you are, and I respect that. I'll be who I am, and please respect that. I love the chase and the pursuit. And here's what I've discovered: that happens seasonally. Hunting season ain't all year. And thank God I'd be exhausted. It happens in a season. And so I do that activity seasonally. And these are just a couple examples from my life. Here's what I want you to discover. It's like, what do you need? And how often? How often do you need that? How consistent are you with replenishing? Because there's all these holes that are going to keep you exhausted and drained if you're not careful. So what can I do to just keep filling up? And there's this thing about following Jesus and living with him. And he talks about fullness to overflow. Look at that. Come on, like it's overflow. And this is the difference between self-help and the presence and the power of the living God, is that he'll show us ways that he says, yeah, you just keep getting more and more and more of me. And not only will the holes not affect you and the things that drain you, because you'll be replenished. Take my yoke upon you. Not only you'll have more to give than you even think. You'll overflow to the people around you. Your neighbors are going to start wondering, what's so different about her? Oh my goodness. All the employees that work under you are going to be like, the best boss ever. She just leads well and loves us and cares for us. Your kids are going to think, I got the best parents in the whole wide world. Why? Because I am replenishing all the time in the power and in the presence of God. And the things that drain me, I know what they are. But the things that replenish me, I stay focused on them. And when I put the power and the renewal of God's word and his truth and his presence and his spirit on the inside of me, I'm different than everybody else around me, because I am full to overflow. This is who we're called by God to be, and it's possible that we are those people. Amen. So I'm going to finish right here, and we're going to pray. Here's how we're going to end this thing. I'm going to take you to the verse that I've ended this series with every week, every message. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus says these words, come to me. Just come to me. I'll give you rest. No. Come to me. Listen, it's as if he's saying, stop going to these other things. Stop going to these other places. I know you're trying hard, but they're not helping you. Come to me. Come to me. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around, please. Every Sunday we do this, and this is for a select few people that may be in the room or tuning in online, that maybe you're here today and you do not know God. I just want to specify that there's only one way to know God, and it is through his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said these words. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. If you're in this room today and you've never made a decision to step into a relationship with Jesus, I want to invite you to do that right now. And here's the best part. You can do it right where you are. This is between you and God. And all I'm going to do is I'm going to say a simple prayer, and I'm going to ask all of you in the room to repeat this prayer after me. Now, some of you are going to be saying it for the first time. Some of us are going to be saying it just to support you as you say it for the first time. Here's our prayer. I want you to say, Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Come on, let's congratulate those that may have said that prayer this morning, amen. It's exciting. Congratulations to all of you. I'm going to turn it over to my good friend, Pastor Andy.